I'm glad you guys are joining us for Christmas Eve. Specifically, we've been celebrating Advent, and it's a time of really just anticipation. That's what Advent is all about, right? It's a time of anticipation. It's a time of joy. That's what it should be. Auntie Donna's in there. Yeah, I can hear her. She's talking about her showy chicken. It must be bomb. Right? And it's a time for us as a church, right, to reflect. Like, it's good to have seasons in the church where we reflect on the coming of Jesus. And specifically in a world where Advent and the Christmas season has become about so many other things, it's always good for us to remember the real reason why Jesus being born was important for us, why he was born to the Virgin Mary. And we've been looking specifically at Old Testament characters from Moses to Abraham to David and seeing how those characters kind of point us to Jesus. But now we're here at Advent and we're here to celebrate Jesus and the culmination of all of that. And so I want to look at Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to be jumping around a lot today. So we'll have the scriptures on the screen. But if not, you can open your Bibles. You can grab one of the Bibles in the back. And if you don't have a Bible, you can take that as our gift to you. Merry Christmas. Amen. All right. Hebrews chapter 1, here's what it says. Long ago, God spoke to the ancestors by the prophets at different times and in different ways. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. God has appointed him heir of all things and made the universe through him. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. This is the passage that we've been looking at all month long. This one passage right here, Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God, right? Jesus is this bright light that's shining through all the darkness in the world. Jesus is that bright light, right? And that makes sense. When you look at all the accounts of Jesus' birth, right? It was this amazing, glorious event. Today is my son's birthday, Christmas Eve. Kevin's birthday, Christmas Eve. And if you're a Christmas Eve birthday person, I just asked Kevin for advice. I said, man, how do you do it? Because I feel like I'm trying to figure it out with my son, you know? And it's his birthday, and his birth was amazing, but it just wasn't quite as amazing as Jesus' birth, right? Like, when Jesus shows up, there are angels, no offense to the Christmas Eve baby people, but when Jesus was born, there were angels singing, right? There was the star leading the way for the wise men, right? They were following, and then you had that little drummer boy playing his drums for little baby Jesus. Just kidding, that wasn't in. I'm sorry to burst your bubbles. I'm sorry to ruin your childhood here, right? The little drummer boy was actually not in the Christmas story, but, right, he's all in our heart. He's in our hearts. He exists in our hearts, right? Sorry if I ruined your childhood. But look at what the angels say. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. But the angel said to them, this is them announcing the birth of Jesus, right? Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the city of David, a Savior is born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. Right? So this Jesus, right, who is the one, who is the radiance of God's glory, who's the exact expression of his nature, right? That he is the exact imprint of God's nature exists in Jesus. He became a baby. He was born this day, right? To humble circumstances, right? As there are two things that we see about the birth of Jesus here. It's the fact that Jesus' birth is good news, and it's news of great joy. It should give you a lot of joy. Now, Advent is supposed to reflect that. We're supposed to feel the greatness of the news and the joy that comes with Jesus being born. But I know, and you know, that sometimes this season of Advent isn't as joyful, and it doesn't feel as good as we know it's supposed to be. Right, we know, right, that there are times when seasons of life when maybe this time can be some of the hardest seasons that you're ever walking through. Maybe right now you feel alone. Maybe right now you feel like you're not where you need to be in life, right? Maybe you feel like your life's falling apart. And I think the holidays kind of have a way of, yeah, being a time of joy, but also being a time when all the ways that our life's not joyful and all the ways that our life's not put together, all those things and those cracks begin to get exposed. And all of a sudden, man, you carry this weight and this sadness and this brokenness, and you don't feel like you can share it because it's the season of joy, because it's a season of happiness. Right. And then you begin to feel broken and you begin to feel guilty and you feel even worse about the fact that you're not joyful during the most joyful time of the year. That's how we feel. Right. But here's the thing. When the angels were declaring good news of great joy, do you guys know that the circumstances surrounding the Christmas events weren't that great? God's people, the Israelites, they were under Roman occupation. They weren't free to worship and do whatever they wanted to do. Herod, King Herod, was murdering children, right? Mary and Joseph didn't have any money. They were poor. They couldn't buy gifts for everybody, right? They were looking for a place to stay, and they couldn't afford. There were no space in the inn, so they had to lay their baby in a manger, right? They couldn't even be in the comfort of their own home. They were with a bunch of animals. So it wasn't an easy time when this news was proclaimed. It was actually a very hard time. It was actually a very dark time. And yet it's in the midst of that darkness that I think the light of Jesus should shine even brighter. That in the midst of all that hardship, the angels are saying, hey, whatever circumstances surround this event, let me tell you the truth. Let me tell you the facts. This is good news of great joy. And today we're going to see why. We're going to see why even when life is hard, even when life is difficult, even when inflation is too high for you to buy gifts, right? Even when that's happening, God is still good. Jesus is still the light, right? That's exactly why we come to celebrate Christmas on December 25th, right? Jesus wasn't actually born on December 25th, right? We don't know when he was born exactly, but this was around the time of the winter solstice. And in ancient times, people thought the sun was actually born on the winter, after the winter solstice, because the winter solstice is like the longest time of the year. And so Christians, ancient Christians, right? Early Christians thought it would be a good idea for us to celebrate around this time. When the nights are longest, right? Because they thought it would be a good time for us during the longest nights, right? To declare that Jesus Christ, the light of the world, has come into the world to give the world joy. This is a perfect time to celebrate Christmas. If you're struggling right now, if it was hard for you to walk in right now, this is the best time for you to be here. This is the best time. So why? Why is it a good time? Well, I want you to see how Jesus describes himself in John chapter 8, verse 12. Here's what he says. Jesus spoke again to them. This is him speaking to his disciples, these people that have been following him for a long time. I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is the light of the world. This is the good news of the gospel, right? That in this dark world, the light of God has shone, right? It means that Jesus, right? When he says, I am the light of the world, here's what it means. Jesus is for everybody. He's the light of the world. He's not just the light of these disciples. He's saying, I am the light of the world. Everybody, no matter your race, ethnicity, background, no matter your sin, no matter your struggle, no matter your history, Jesus is a light for you, right? He's the one who shows us where to go and how to live. When you think about light, right? When you think about light, what does light do? Well, if we were to shut off all these lights, like we shut off the lights in the back just to experiment today, I ran into the communion table. I'm sorry, but it was dark back there. And all we needed, right, was a little bit of like whip on my iPhone, turn on my light, and you know what I got? Direction. I'm able to walk. I'm able to move in this life, right? And so when Jesus comes into your life, when you understand and see Jesus for who he is, it changes everything because you no longer live in the darkness. You no longer have to hide, right? In this verse, he says, anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, ever. Now, what does that mean, right? When the Bible speaks of walking in darkness, it's a metaphor. It's a metaphor for stumbling around with all the bad things in this world, right? All the bad things that exist. It could be the hopelessness that exists in this life. And you know that that's out there, right? When you feel like you're trapped and you feel like the things around you and your circumstances will never get better, that's that hopelessness that people can feel. It could be the pain that comes with just living in this world, losing loved ones, sickness, death. Decay, all those things, right? Murder, strife, wars, abuse, all the things that we experience, all the things that we see on this news that could make us sad. That's what he's talking about. Walking in darkness, living in this world. And it includes the sin that you and I commit every single day, right? Because you and I know that we add to the darkness in this world sometimes, right? That not everything is a problem out there. Sometimes the biggest problem that we have in our life is right here. And so Jesus said in John 10, I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Jesus came to give his disciples, his sheep, direction, how to live, where to go, what to do, where to put your hope. And notice when Jesus gives these directions, he's not giving these directions like just a taskmaster, a boss, just telling you what to do. He says, no. The directions I give to my sheep come from their shepherd. Someone who actually cares for them. Someone who actually loves them. Someone who actually willingly lays down his life for you and me. If you didn't know what it means to follow Jesus, here's what it means. It means hearing his voice and doing what his voice says. That's what it means to follow Jesus. And guess what? That doesn't mean that everything in life is going to go exactly how you want. Christians that have been walking for Jesus for a long time, it ain't like that most times, right? You follow Jesus and it feels like it gets harder. You follow Jesus and you feel like life is more of a struggle. You follow Jesus and you wonder, what is going on here, right? What is going on here? But here's the thing. When we follow Jesus, the other thing, the second thing I want us to see is he gives us direction, but it also gives us assurance, reassurance. Because walking in darkness, it can make us afraid. We're afraid. Living in this world, living in this crazy world can make us fearful. It can make us fearful. I have kids, right? And I know this, and some of you guys might be there, right? Kids are just naturally afraid of the dark. Naturally afraid of the dark. And here's why they're afraid of the dark. Because the dark is the unknown. They don't know what's out there. They can't see what's out there. They don't know. But guess what? All it takes for kids to deal with that darkness is a little nightlight, right? A little bit of light. A little bit of light helps drive all the fear away for kids. And listen, if that's all it takes for a kid to not be afraid, listen, Jesus isn't just a little light. He is the light of the world. He is the biggest, brightest light. And so everything that you need to deal with all the fears that you have, you can find in Jesus. All the worry you have. Listen, we're going into a new year. And I know at New Year's, we like to start off like, here's all the amazing things we're going to accomplish. Guess what? You don't know. You don't know what struggles are going to be in 2024. You don't know what's going to happen in that time. You don't know if things are going to go better for you. You don't know if they're going to go worse. You don't know if you're going to gain more or lose more than you've ever had. But what you do know is that your Savior goes before you. What you do know is that Jesus knows the outcome, and Jesus loves you, and Jesus cares for you, and he'll never put you through something that he can't take you through, right? That's Jesus. This is why, right, we get afraid when we feel like we're on our own in this life, when you feel like you're alone, right? You feel like nobody's looking out for you. Isn't that the time when you sin the most? Isn't that the time when you worry the most? You feel like you're all alone. Kids, aren't you most afraid? Not when you're in the dark with your family. When you're in the dark by yourself in your own room, right? That's when you feel most afraid. But here's the thing. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. Don't worry. Don't worry, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? Or what will we wear? Man, was Jesus' disciples dealing with inflation? I don't know. 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 I don't know how much the coin was worth at that time. But here's what I do know. Here's what Jesus says. Don't worry about all those things. For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. They don't know what they're going to eat. They don't know what they're going to wear. They don't know, right, what they're going to drink. But here's what they do know. Your heavenly Father knows your needs. Gentiles worry about the same things we worry about. Unbelievers worry about the same things that the faithful Christian worries about. The difference is we know we're not alone. We know that we have a heavenly Father who is with us, who loves us and cares for us. And our heavenly Father says over and over and over again, I do not withhold good from my kids. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. There is nothing that I need that God hasn't already given me. Right? We are not alone in this life. God has never been caught off guard by your struggles. He's never been caught off guard by the things that you feel like you lack. God knows all those things. And listen, even though you feel like no one's looking out for you, God always is looking out for you. Even when you feel like you're alone, you're not. If you believe in Jesus, if you believe in Jesus, you have God. Look at what it says in this verse, right? Anyone who follows me will have the light of life. If Jesus is the light of the world, and anyone who follows Jesus will have the light of life. Guess what that means? You have Jesus. That's what that means. And when you feel like you have nothing, you have Jesus, right? And when you think about this, right, literally, like the way that God has designed this world, light literally produces life. Think about that. The way that God designed this world, light literally produces life. My biology teacher was teaching me about photosynthesis. Professor Kaoli Maikalani, my oldest daughter. And she's telling me how God created, right, these plants, right? And they use CO2, I think if she's correct, in order to create oxygen that then we breathe, right? All living organisms breathe this oxygen and they use this oxygen. And so when they have light, guess what you have? Life. If you have light, you have life. When the plants don't have light, what happens? They die, right? Light brings, like, life. But not only that, light brings out the beauty in the world, right? It brings out all the beauty in the entire world. We need light to see the beauty that exists in the world. My physics teacher, same thing, Coley, was teaching me about color the other day. And apparently, right, things don't have color in and of themselves, right? They just reflect a certain color. I don't know. Sarah's a scientist. She can tell me, right? They don't have color, right? Color is the light that bounces off of these objects or shines through them. So light is able to reveal the beauty or the vibrancy of God's creation. That's how light works. Light brings life. And that's what Jesus came to bring. Not only does he give you this hope, not only does he give you reassurance, Jesus came to bring you life. Here's what he said in John chapter 10. I have come so that they may have life and have it to the full. Now, I want you guys to think about this. How would you respond to a bunch of people that rejected you? How would you respond to a bunch of people who didn't give you a gift on your birthday, right? How would you respond to a bunch of people who spit on you and mocked you and beat you and shook their fists at you and said, I want nothing to do with you? I know how some of you would respond because I've responded the same way. You know what? We're not going to show up to the party. We're not going to text you. We're not going to call you. That's how we respond. Or think about it. And yet we offended God in such a big way. We've sinned against God. We've been talking about it, right? All of us have rebelled against God. All of us have sinned in our own way and rejected him. And yet when God has the opportunity to send someone to meet the very people that rebelled against him, he sends a baby. He sends his son into the world. And he sends his son not to crush his enemies, right? Not to rebuke his enemies. He sends his son so that he can give them life and give them life to the full. That's how God responds to us. Now think about that. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I've come so that I can give them life. And what it means when he says, I am the light of the world, when Jesus says that, it means that guess what? You don't have light anywhere else. There is no other place that you can go to get life in this world. It might seem that way. It might seem that you can find life outside of God, but you can't, right? The way I think about it is, you know, like the presents that are out there in the world, right? Kids, you love presents. Presents, 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 presents. But we all know as parents that when we get you a present, it lasts for a week, and then all of a sudden, you're not quite into that thing anymore. And then what do you need to fill yourself up again? Another present, right? And then we just get to this point where we're older now, and so we're like, we're not really into presents because of that, right? Because we know it's not satisfying. You know what's more satisfying? Giving, right? And so here's the thing. The world is just like that. The world says, hey, you're going to have hope if you get more money. The world says, you're going to have hope if you get more stuff. The world says, you're going to have hope if you get all these other things added to you, right? We feel that. Like, I feel that, right? I got this Apple Watch from my mom, right? And I loved it for, like, the first day. And then I realized I got to charge it every single day. And now I'm like, I need the Ultra. But I don't. I don't need the Ultra. My wife looked at me. She's like, no, we struggle. You know, I just need the Ultra. I want to charge it. And I want to, you know, check my health, you know? Leo's like, you don't need a watch to walk. Just walk. I'm like, yeah. I'll just go walk. Right? I was like, I do need it. Okay? But here's the thing, right? None of those things will ever satisfy you. All those things are advertisements that say they can satisfy and they never will. Jesus is the only place. He's the only one. Jesus is the one who says to his disciples, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And a lot of times we're weary and heavy laden because of the stuff that exists out there in the world. And we're also weary and heavy laden because of all the bad decisions we made. And even to us who made bad decisions, Jesus says, come to me. I'm going to give you rest. There's nothing in our life that's caused more issues than our own sin. There's nothing in our life that caused us more of a burden. There's nothing that has come between us and God more than our own personal sin, not the sin that exists out there in the world. And I know we've been talking about sin a lot, but if you don't understand sin, you don't understand the Christmas story. If you don't understand that you rebelled against God, you won't understand and grasp this story. The Bible says that all of us have sinned and all of us have fallen short of God's glory. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, that all of us deserve, all of us have earned the wrath of God. The Bible says that we, through our sin, made ourselves enemies of God. And yet God responds to us by sending a Messiah, by sending a Savior. This is the greatest part about the Christmas story. It isn't the wise men. It isn't the stars in the sky. It isn't the angel showing up. The greatest part about the Christmas story is God sent his one and only son into the world that hated him, into a world that rejected him. The book of Philippians says that when Jesus was born, when he came to earth, he took on the form of a servant. He took on the form of a servant. He humbled himself and he served us. And he serves us by giving his life as a ransom for many people. He serves us so much that he humbles himself even to the point of death. And so the biggest problem that we have is the darkness in our own hearts. And Jesus already solved that. He already solved that problem by dying on the cross for our sins. And listen, anyone in that, if you understand that, if you understand that your biggest problem is already solved, then what makes you think that Jesus can't deal with the darkness that exists out there in the world? What makes you think that he can't deal with the issues that exist between you and your family? What makes you think that he can't allow you to forgive somebody? What makes you think that he can't deal with that sin that you've been struggling with and get rid of it? If Jesus dealt with the darkness in our own hearts, surely he can deal with all the darkness that exists out there in the world. Amen? And listen, what this also means is if he's dealt with that, you have nothing to be afraid of. You have nothing to be worried about, nothing to fear, because the one who held it all together holds all of us together. He's holding all of you together right here, right now. He's driving out the darkness. Now, how is he going to do that? How does he drive out the darkness? Well, the way that he does it really is by being the light of the world and us recognizing it, and then causing us to be a life-giving source to the people around us. That's how Jesus wants to bring light to the world. He wants to use you to bring light to the world. That's why Jesus said, right after he says, I am the light of the world, we're not going to read it, but it says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Jesus was this light that shone in the darkness, and now Jesus wants to empower you to take the same light that you'd experienced, the same grace that you've experienced, the same hope that you've experienced, and take that to all the people around you. And so I pray, church, as you guys go out today, as you leave here, that you would see yourself as that light, that you would see yourself as a vessel to proclaim Jesus to this dark, dying, decaying world. That you can do this. You can be a light at Christmas Eve dinner tonight. You can be a light on Christmas morning or Christmas day or when things get hard or when people are stressful. You can be a light to the world by pointing people to Jesus. Let's pray together.